Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey, welcome to church, everybody. My name is Daniel. I'm one of the staff here at The Rocks, and it is my privilege to extend my personal welcome to all of you, especially if this is your first Sunday at The Rocks. I don't want to take for granted that you choose to spend your Sunday evening here with us. I think that's brilliant. You could be anywhere else, but you're here. So thank you for that. And also our friends joining in online from all over the world, thanks for joining us as well. Hey, today we're kicking off a brand new series that we're calling Love, Dates, and Heartbreaks. Let me tell you who this series is for. This series is for young people who hope to date, want to date, and will be dating someday. This is for all the singles who are currently dating. But this is also for all the married people out there. How many of you out there, married people? Come on. Yeah, my people. This is for you as well. If you hope for your marriage to be better, I want you to lean in and pay attention because this series is for you as well. This series is also for those who have been recently divorced and maybe someday you want to get back on a dating world, the scary dating world again. This series is for you as well. In other words, this series is for anybody and everybody who is in a relationship and wants to be in a relationship. It doesn't matter if you're 16, 26, 56, or 76, all right? This series is for you. But before we continue this morning, I'd like to say a word of prayer one more time. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you so much for your presence in our midst. We're going to take a deep breath right now and just recognize your presence here. Even though we don't always feel it, we know that you are always with us. So right now, I pray that you speak to us because we are ready to listen. Open our hearts, open our mind. We know we're not here by coincidence. You have a special word to speak to every single one of us. We pray and ask you this in Jesus' name. If you agree with me, say amen. You may or may not have heard this man. His name is Edward Bernays. And this is the person responsible for influencing many of your purchasing decisions today, and you don't even know it. Let me backtrack and explain to you. In the early 1900s, smoking is considered really cool if you are a man, all right? But if you're a woman, it's a no-no. Smoking is taboo. Smoking is for fallen women. You would be considered a whore or prostitute if you smoke, right? It's totally socially unacceptable for women to smoke, all right? And this is a huge problem. This presented a huge problem for the tobacco industry because 50% of the population were not using their product simply because it was inappropriate. And what's his name? The president of the American Tobacco Company realized the potential of promoting tobacco to women, and he tried many different ways to do it, but he always failed. That is until 1928, when he hired this man, this marketing genius, the father of public relations by the name of Edward Bernays. Up until then, every marketing strategy in the whole world is the same thing. They're similar, all right? You market your product based on its strength. So you try to favor your product over your competition and try to sell your product that way. Buy this cheese because it is fresher. You gotta buy this car because it is faster. It's got leather seat, right? The assumption is people buy stuff based on facts and information. That's the whole basis of marketing up until that point. But Bernays believed differently. He believed that people don't buy stuff based on facts and information, but instead, people buy products based on impulse and emotion. That's why you go to a shopping center not planning to buy anything, and you come home with a pair of shoes and two pair of jeans. Am I correct? That's why you go to the supermarket with three items on your shopping list and you go home with a cart full of groceries you don't even need. Why? Because you don't buy based on facts and information, but you buy based on impulse and emotion. And Bernays capitalized on this, and this was exactly how he marketed smoking to women. He would not promote the benefit of smoking, but you have to remember, this is the 1920s, at the height of women liberation, where women had to fight for just the freedom and the right to vote, the right to hold a certain office in the government, the right to smoke, for that matter, all right? So Bernays devised this really clever PR stunt, PR campaign, the first of its kind in the whole world, and this is what he did. It was very clever. He hired 10 women to march during the famous Easter parade in New York in 1929. All right? And the first young woman to step into the busy Fifth Avenue was this young woman by the name of Bertha Hunt, and he called the campaign Torches of Freedom. It's not about smoking, but it's all about freedom. All right? So Bertha Hunt stepped into the crowded Fifth Avenue during the march, and he created a scene, he created a scandal by lighting a Lucky Strike cigarette while marching along just casually with all the other men in the parade. And Bertha was followed by 10 other women, all lighting up their torches of freedom. Okay? And that's why the campaign was successful, because he put pamphlets all over the place, he put leaflets, he called reporters, cameramen, so it was recorded, it was captured, the news spread all over America that this is the beginning of freedom for women. Finally, women had the same freedom as men to have lung cancer, all right? And when you see advertisements today, all right? When you see a celebrity or a superstar promoting a product that's got nothing to do with them, you can thank Bernays for that. When you see Coca-Cola promoting their product and making Coke synonymous with fun and friendship, you can thank Bernays for that. That's why I said at the beginning, Bernays is responsible for influencing your purchasing decisions today, because he realized one thing that not too many people realize, and that is this, that our world runs on feelings. Yep, our world runs on feelings. You and I run on feelings. You make purchasing decisions based on your feelings. You choose a church based on your feelings, not based on your conviction or, you know, the vision of the church or whatever. Many people choose a church based on, I like the music, I like the people, I like the message. You couldn't care less about the vision, you couldn't care less about the conviction. And that's why people leave the church as well. People leave church hardly because of any conviction, but people leave church because I don't feel good in that church anymore. It doesn't feel right for me anymore. And that's why people leave marriages as well. You know, I don't think I should stay in this marriage because it doesn't feel right anymore. See, the world runs on feelings. The world runs on emotions, all right? Why do I bring this up? I bring this up because of this sad but true fact that many heartbreaks are caused by relationships that started or ended based on feelings. That's why this series is so important. If you are single, I want you to get it right the first time, okay? And if you're married and maybe you think, man, you're hitting the end of the road in your marriage, you don't think there's any hope left for your marriage, I want you to hang on, all right? Don't make any decision for the next 4 weeks, okay? Come back, listen to this series, because I'm telling you, if you pay attention, if you just listen to what we have to share, things may just change in your marriage, okay? Now, today is just the introduction. I want you to keep coming back, as I said, for the next 3 weeks, because the next 3 weeks are going to be totally, totally amazing. But today is just an introduction, and I want to start off by telling you two very common myths when it comes to relationship. And these two myths are based on the fact that people runs their lives on feelings, all right? The first myth is this. I call it the right person myth. The right person myth says, if I meet the right person, everything will be all right, all right? Or if I marry the right person, everything will be all right. What they didn't realize is this. As you went out there looking for the right person. The right person that you're looking for, they were also out there looking for the right person. So you have two people, two single people, looking for the right person, and they met and they said to each other, "This is amazing. I met the right person. Everything is gonna be all right." And the question is, how do they know they met the right person? Easy. It's chemistry, right? The answer is always chemistry. Oh, we could talk all night. We could finish each other's sentences. I could not stop thinking about him, about her. Right? So it's chemistry, you know? And they said, it felt so right. There we go again. It's about feelings. It felt so right. I never felt this way before. You know, nobody has ever loved like this before. Not even my mother, not even my grandmother, not even Romeo and Juliet. Nobody has loved this way before. What we have is unique. What we have is special. And because they have this unique bond, because they believe they're made for each other, this is the right person for me, they decided to take that relationship to the next level. They decided to be intimate, not only emotionally, but physically as well. After all, you don't buy a new car without test driving it first, right? Or you don't buy a new pair of shoes without trying them on first. So they thought, man, we gotta take this relationship to the next level. We gotta be intimate physically. By the way, I don't recommend it, all right? Because people are not cars, they're not shoes, they have feelings, they have emotion. Okay? But that's what they thought. They thought it's going to be so much better if we can get connected, not only emotionally, but physically as well. So they grew closer than ever before. And based on this, they get together and they get married. Right? The problem is, all they have is chemistry. That's all they have. They're not good at relationships. Because after all, they thought, man, if I meet the right person, that person is going to be good at relationship. I don't need to be good at relationship. My partner will be good at relationship. And that's going to make me good at relationship. But they never worked on their relationship. So suddenly, you have two single people with problems. By the way, most people don't have marriage problem. You have single people problems that you bring together when you get married, right? So what we have is two people who get together, get married. All they have is chemistry. They're lousy at relationships. And then things start to break down. And then they wonder, like, why? Why is it so difficult? I thought I married the right person. It shouldn't be this difficult. We didn't have this problem before. And the man in the relationship, usually it's the man in the relationship, I know, let's have more sex. Because when we were dating, we had a lot of sex and we didn't have this problem. Let's have sex. And then the wife says, it doesn't work that way. And the man said, of course it always works that way, right? That's how things always work. It doesn't work that way. And then someone in the relationship, usually the wife, has a brilliant idea. I know what we can do to bring us closer together. Let's have a baby. Brilliant, yeah? Let's bring another human being into this dysfunctional relationship, and this baby is gonna fix everything. And the man thought, baby, that means it requires sex. It's a great idea, let's do it. All the single people are laughing because you think, who would be stupid enough to do such thing? I know, married people, that's who, right? Married people. And the married people are nervous, you know, and they say, how does he know? Let me tell you how I know. Because your relationship is not as unique as you think. All right? What happens to you happens to everybody else. Okay? So, you get together, you get married, and suddenly you thought having a baby is going to solve everything. And then your wife gets pregnant. And guess what? According to statistics, this is true, but it's so sad. Let me ask you, when is the time when man is most susceptible to have an affair? Top three. One of the top three answer is when the wife was pregnant. That's amazing, isn't it?
Scum. How could you do that? While your wife is trying to fix the relationship by getting pregnant, how can you have an affair? I know, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you the statistics, all right? This is what happened in the real world. So they get together, they get married, they think a child is gonna solve everything, and what they don't realize is they are bad at relationship, and because they're bad at relationship, it's affecting their chemistry and it's affecting their passion to one another, right? And then things will go downhill from there. And one day, the man goes to the office and he looks up. Guess what he sees? The right person in the office. And he thought, now I know why my marriage is not working out. I married the wrong person. I must have married the wrong person, because if I had married the right person, everything will be all right. And things are not all right in my marriage. That means I must have married the wrong person. But now I see someone in my office. She must be the right person. And so the cycle continues again. Now, you think I'm exaggerating. You think like, no, there's no way that that's what's happening in the real world. You'll be surprised how much true this is for many relationships, all right? And the amazing thing about the right person myth is this. This is the deeper part about the right person myth. Not only if I meet the right person, everything will be all right, we believe if I meet the right person, I will be all right. I will be all right. If I meet the right person, I won't be addicted to porn anymore. After all, I meet the right person. Right, guys? If I meet the right person, I won't have insecurity problem anymore because I meet the right person. I won't be insecure. If I meet the right person, I'll be good with my finance because I meet the right person. I will be good with my finance. See, you think if you had met the right person, everything will be all right. You will be all right. Or your fiancé will be all right. Maybe you've been overlooking some of their weaknesses, and you think, man, you know, because I'm the right person for him, because I'm the right person for her, she's gonna be all right. He's gonna be all right because I'm there. See, this is a myth, okay? This is a myth. And this myth, excuse me, is related to the second myth. And the second myth is this. It's the I promise myth. The I promise myth. The I promise myth is this. If I make a promise, everything will be all right. If I make a promise, if I make a vow, everything will be all right. See, when it comes to a successful, healthy relationship, all I need to do is just make a promise and everything will be all right. People think they can vow their way into a healthy relationship. People think they can promise their way into a better future. But we know this is ridiculous. It's not true. Right? Just because you say, I do, it doesn't mean everything will be all right. See, a lot of people think, you know, when I get married, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. When I get married, I'm going to start a fresh new chapter of my life. What they're saying is this, everything that I've done so far up until this point, it doesn't matter because when I have a big party and I make a promise, everything will be all right. It's not true. All right? If you were lazy right here, you will be lazy here, okay? If you have integrity issue right here, you're gonna have integrity issue when you say I do, okay? And here's the truth. Promises are never substitute for preparation. Promises are never a substitute for preparation. The thing is this, we know this is true in every aspect of life. We know this is true for everything, whether it's academics, whether it's business, whether it's sports. We know this is true. You can't substitute preparation with a promise, okay? You can't promise your way to a degree. You cannot. You have to study, okay? You can't promise your way to grade A. You cannot. You have to work hard. You have to prepare. You have to study, all right? Same thing in the world of sports. You know, you look at the most successful teams in the world. You look at the most successful professional sports person in the world. They work really, really hard, you know. You don't huddle together before a game and say, hey, let's all promise to win, okay? It's not going to work that way. You can't promise to win. Hey, shall we all promise to win? You can promise all you want, but unless you practice, you're not going to win. Am I correct? You're not going to win. Even the pep talk by the coaches, I know they're great, they're important to fire you up, but pep talk by the coaches can only do so much. If you don't practice, if you don't prepare, no amount of pep talk from the coach is going to make you win. Am I correct? So promises are never a substitute for preparation.
Let me put it another way.
Saying I do doesn't mean that you can. Saying I do doesn't mean that you can. Okay? It's very difficult. Everybody can say I do. All right? You just need to be able to breathe to be able to say I do. All right? And you've been there before. You've attended a wedding before where you know the couple, you know they fight all the time, and they never work on their relationship. As they exchange vows to one another, you know, it was beautiful, it was so magical, they wrote this amazing vow, and you were sitting there at the back, you thought to yourself, man, good luck, good luck. Am I right? Because you know they're headed for destruction. Man, this is not going to look good moving forward. Saying I do doesn't mean that you can. Or I'll put it this way. This is a quote from Andy Stanley. This is beautiful, okay? If you have a camera, you want to take the photo, if you want to tweet this, it's wonderful, and this is true. He says this, saying I do does not make you capable. Saying I do makes you accountable, all right? And when you're accountable but you're not capable, you are miserable. Think about it. Is it true? Saying I do does not make you capable. Anyone can say I do. Saying I do makes you accountable. That's what commitment is. You're accountable. So when you're accountable but you're not capable, you are miserable. And there are a lot of miserable people out there in their marriages, let me tell you right now. Because they think they can vow their way into a healthy relationship. They think they can promise their way into a good future. I want to tell you something that you will never hear from any other pastors out there. Commitment, when it comes to relationship, is overrated. Let me tell you that right now. Commitment, when it comes to relationship, is overrated. I'm not saying commitment is not important. Don't get me wrong, okay? I want to encourage you, if you've been living together, go get married. Make yourself, you know, accountable. Be committed. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. In fact, I want to encourage you to be committed. But commitment can only do so much, okay? It's not a given. It's not automatic that you're going to have a successful relationship just because you commit, just because you say, I do. You need to put in the hard yard. You need to work hard at your relationship, okay? Talk to any successful marriages out there, people who have been married for 40 years, 50 years. They will tell you there are a lot of ups and downs in their relationship. They work on it all the time. That's why they are where they are today. So here's the question. The question is not, how can I find the right person for me? I mean, that's an important question. Don't get me wrong, okay? In the coming weeks, we're going to explore that question. It is an important question for you to ask. How can I find the right person? But more important than the question, how do I find the right person? You need to ask yourself this question. Are you becoming the right person for the person whom you think will be the right person? I don't know if the grammar is correct or not. I don't care. But I hope you understand. The question is this. Am I becoming the right person for the person whom I think will be the right person for me? You know what I'm trying to say? More important than how do I find the right person, I need to ask myself, am I becoming the right person for the person that I'm looking for? All right? And when you ask this question, soon the answer will be clear to you. And as followers of Jesus Christ, if you open the Bible, you will not find many, many guidelines on how to find the right person. Okay? But here's the good news. Even though you don't find a lot of guidelines about finding the right person, the Bible speaks a lot about becoming the right person. In fact, that's the reason why we're here every Sunday. We're here every Sunday because we know we can do better at life. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of Jesus, we can be better at life. If you're not a Christian here this evening, let me tell you the good news. The good news is God loves you as you are, all right? Salvation, eternal life is a free gift from God. I mean, you don't work your way to be accepted by God to have eternal life. It doesn't work that way. Every single one of us has fallen short of the standard that God has set for us. And that standard is perfection. But nobody is perfect in this world. That's why I love our slogan, no perfect people allowed. So God is gracious to us though. This is the good news. He loved us as we are. But as we say all the time from this stage, God loved you too much to leave you the way you are. And that's why God wants you to become more and more like His Son Jesus in this world. God is not going to condemn you when you fall short, but He wants to help you to be better at life through the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why, you know, when you read your Bible, it's actually a learning process for all of us. Every single day is a step toward becoming a better person, someone who is a blessing to the people around us, okay? For example, this love passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is one way for us to become that person for the person that we're looking for, okay? It's often read in weddings, but it's actually not a wedding passage. It's just a general passage about love, and this is amazing. It's clear from here that love is more than just a feeling, even though I know the world runs on feelings. But love is actually a decision in the Bible. That's why love can be commanded. Because if love is feelings, how can it be commanded? Jesus commanded us, love one another as I have loved you. It's a command, it's an instruction, it's an imperative. Love can only be commanded if it's a decision, not just an emotion. And here Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. When you read this, maybe you think to yourself, man, what a boring relationship, right? We're going to be patient to one another, we're going to be kind to one another, we're not going to be envious of one another, we're not going to boast. I know. This is not going to make a hit on Netflix, let me tell you that. Because, you know, who would want to make a series out of that, right? A husband would go home faithful to his wife. He would go to the office the next day, and he will come home again to his wife. Boring, right? But let me tell you this. For those of you who grew up in a broken home, maybe your parents got divorced when you were young, all right? Imagine if your dad had been a little bit more patient to your mom. Imagine if your mom had been a little bit kinder to your dad. Imagine if they both kind, if they're both patient, if they're not envious to one another, if they're not proud. Imagine that. Imagine how their marriage could have been different. All right? So in your relationship, use this as a checkpoint, okay? Am I learning to be a patient person? Because it is important. If you're not yet in a relationship right now, it's important for your future relationship. It's important for your future spouse that you learn to be patient, okay? Patient means you don't force your way in a relationship. Patient means you give the other person time and space, all right? That's what patience means. And when you're in a relationship and whoever you're with does not show you patience, that person is not being loving toward you. And here's the truth again. If you believe in the right person myth, maybe you believe this. Well, I don't need to learn to be patient because if I marry the right person, you know, I don't need to learn to be patient. I will always be patient because he's going to be so great. She's going to be so fantastic. I will always be patient. Same thing with being kind. You know, I don't need to learn to be kind because if I marry the right person, you know, everything is going to be awesome. He's going to be so good. She's going to be so great that I will automatically be kind to him. I will automatically be kind to her. See, that's not how it works. That's a myth, okay? Every single one of us need to work on being kind. If you work on being kind, if you are in a marriage relationship right now and you're always fighting, try this at home this week. Try to practice kindness to one another. See what difference it would make in your relationship. Don't worry about what the other person would do to you. But you, practice being kind to your husband. Practice being kind to your wife. Practice patience to your husband, to your wife. See what difference it will make in your relationship this week, all right? Love does not envy. That means, you know, I'm not going to make you feel bad just because I feel bad. Love does not boast. You know, I'm not going to be proud of my own achievement, but I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to celebrate your success. If a man in your life caught a fish this big, all right, don't say, oh, but my dad is in a fishing channel. You know, don't say that. You got to cherish, you got to celebrate their accomplishment. You got to say, wow, that's amazing. All right, even though the fish is only this big, you got to learn. Ladies, you got to learn to say, wow, that's amazing. Let's practice that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Wow, that's amazing. All right? You got to learn to do that. You know, in your relationship, come on. You know, we take each other for granted so easily when we are close with that person. Right? I mean, we don't take each other for granted in the office. We are always polite. We are always considerate. We are always kind. But somehow, to the person closest to us, we take them for granted. Don't take them for granted. Celebrate their success. Celebrate their achievement. Learn to say, wow, that's amazing, okay? What else? It does not dishonor others. And young people, especially young people who are dating, let me tell you, in your dating relationship, make sure you show love by honoring one another. Make sure that you don't dishonor one another. In case the relationship does not work out, I don't want you to be embarrassed in the future when you meet your ex, with your husband, with your wife. You don't have to hide in the milk aisle like, oh man, I don't want to see that person. No, I want you to stand tall and be able to say, hey, meet my ex-girlfriend. She's amazing. And you can be, full of integrity because you know you've been honorable in your past relationship. You have nothing to hide. You've been nothing but honoring in your relationship. So you can do that, all right? That's what love is. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. Again, if your parents had practiced this in their relationship, if they practiced seeking the interests of others instead of themselves, how different would their marriage relationship would be? If you practice this in your relationship, you know, always seeking the best interest of your partner instead of yourself, I'm telling you, it's a game changer in your relationship. So it's not about finding the right person, but it's all about becoming the right person in your life. You know, when it comes to relationship, I want to tell you this. A lot of people are very mature in many different areas of life. They may be responsible in the office. They may be very mature in so many different areas of life. But I find, based on my experience, when it comes to relationship, a lot of people, including Christians, they are so immature when it comes to relationship. They still buy into this Hollywood idea of marriage. You know, the Hollywood idea of marriage is what I can get from the relationship. You know, it's self-seeking. It's self-pleasuring. You know, it's all about me. It's not about the other person. It's all about me. It's all about emotion. When I don't feel good anymore, let's chuck this relationship. Let's move on to the next relationship. That's childish way of thinking when it comes to relationship. Listen to the advice of Paul. This is the last verse for us tonight. Paul says this, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. I want to encourage every single one of you, whether you're married or singles, put the childish way behind you when it comes to relationship. Throw away the myth that if you find the right person, everything will be all right. Instead, concentrate on becoming the right person. Throw away the if I promise everything will be all right idea, because you need to work on your relationship, all right? And when you do, let me tell you, everything will change. So here's the bottom line for tonight. Are you becoming the person you're looking for is looking for? Because I know everybody's looking for the right person. And that right person that you're looking for is also looking for the right person. Maybe the right person that you like will not like you because you're not that person that he's looking for. You're not that person that she's looking for. So instead, concentrate on this. Am I becoming the person I'm looking for is looking for? Or if you're already married, ask yourself the question this way. Am I being the husband or the wife that my spouse was looking for? Because when you got married the first time, your spouse had an idea of what a husband should be, what a wife should be. I know there's no such thing as a perfect husband, there's no such thing as a perfect wife, but we all got room to grow. We all can learn. If each one of us, imagine this, if each one of us learn to become the right person for our partner, man, Christian relationships are gonna look so much different than what we see right now. Because right now, Christian relationships are just as bad as non-Christian relationships out there. Divorce rate is about the same. Everything is about the same. Why? Because many Christians, when it comes to relationship, they're still childish. They still think and believe the same way the world does. All right? Let's put our childish way behind us. I want you to keep coming back in the next few weeks as we continue to unpack this. Invite your friends to come. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be such a blessing, I know.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.